First hymn, 41, Blessed Be the Name. And let us arise and sing. All praise to Him.
All praise to Him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave His Son for men to die that He might men redeem. Blessed be the name.
Thank you for your singing. You may be seated. We read in the call to worship the first verse of Psalm 97. Let me read the entirety of that psalm, Psalm 97. It reminds us the Lord reigneth. He is sovereign over all. And so Psalm 97, the psalmist says, "The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about Him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of His throne. A fire goeth before Him and burneth up His enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare His righteousness, and all the people see His glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols, worship Him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of Thy judgments, O Lord. For Thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of all His saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord. Ye righteous, give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness." Well, may God bless the reading of the Psalms to our hearts this evening. Well, let us just bow our heads in a moment of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have given to us, this beautiful land and country which we abide in. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. It is because his eyes see, his ear, his nose smells. All around him there is such a great creation, the trees, the mountains, the nature. All around us we witness your creation, which shouts out that there is a God. Down to the magnitude of this world and this universe, down to the nitty-gritty things that are naked to our eyes, that there is a great designer. There is someone who in his wisdom has created all things. And so we as Christians rejoice, for you are sovereign over all things. You are the creator. We thank you, God, for how you have placed us in our respective spheres of influence. You have given us homes. You have given us family and friends. You have given us those around us in our workplaces. You have given us this church, and you have brought us here at a specific time and a specific place so that we may serve you in this, in your kingdom. And so we pray that you may help us, give us humility, give us a servant's heart. We thank you first and foremost for your salvation, so rich and so free. We thank you for your Son's sacrifice on the cross, that great transaction where our sins were put on Christ as if he had sinned those sins. And his righteousness now covers us. And now because of that great substitution, we now are adopted and are called the sons and daughters of God. We pray and thank you not only for the great gift of salvation through your Son, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, which continues to comfort us, continues to convict us of our sin. And we pray that you may help us. Indeed, we need help. Convict us, move us, encourage us to do your bidding. Help us, dear Lord, empower us as we go out into this world. May we spread and sow the gospel seed. Also help us in our daily lives. Help us to be good stewards of the resources that you have given to us. Help us to be good disciples, that we may work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And so we thank you for each and every one here today. We thank you for those that are joining us by webcast. And we pray as we worship you, that our worship may come up to you as a sweet smelling savor. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 687. 687, we need to ask God to revive our hearts. We need to ask God to revive our families. May God revive our churches and our congregations. May God revive our country. And most importantly, may He revive His work. And so, 687, let us arise and sing, "Revive Thy Work, O Lord."
Revive Thy work, O Lord.
Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, I'll invite Elder Samuel up to give us the announcements.
Thank you, Sam. Good evening, everyone. Welcome all those here in attendance and all those online in sermon audio viewing in. And we trust that the Lord would have a word for each and every heart here in attendance. Thank you, Brother Sam, for being here tonight as well. Our brother has been here before. He's no stranger in this pulpit. We look forward to the Lord's word and pray for him and his church in Coquitlam. And the Bible Presbyterian Church, we fellowship with them. Time to time, we have the liberty and opportunity to do so. And we're just thankful that we have this common kinship within the body of Christ. I have a few announcements. I'll let you read through most of it. I'll just mention a few things. We will have Reverend Fitton back in our pulpit at the end of the month, Sunday, July 28th. Our pastor and his wife are away on vacation. Trust that the Lord will bless our time together. They're due back, I believe, near the 20th or the 21st, somewhere around there. We will have a guest preacher on Sunday the 21st. That'll be Reverend Andy Foster. Lord willing, we'll see him. He's the pastor of our Penticton Church, and we look forward to having him with us. He'll be conducting both services and the Wednesday evening service as well on July 24th. Our brother Sam Chow, Lord willing, will be back with us next Sunday as well. Myself, I'll be leading in the morning service as well. Brother Charlie will be conducting not next Wednesday's meeting, but on the 17th of July. And so Mr. Ruzma will be back. He'll be conducting the 10th, which is this upcoming Wednesday. So we have different speakers for the month of July. I won't confuse it, but you'll have this bulletin to read and you can see for yourselves. The upcoming first conference, Western Family Conference, we're having is this August. You'll see that August the 30th to September the 1st. That's in Williams Lake. If you're planning to come, there is a sheet up there on the foyer table. Have a look there in regards to who's coming and the families. I think it's all to do with food and what to order. So we just are looking for numbers. And so we look to join in with the Prince George Church, the Williams Lake Church, probably Calgary Church as well, and some folks from Penticton. So it's the first time we're having this. Looking forward to having this meeting. Trusting the Lord will bless each and every ministry aspect there. Apart from that, we look forward to our brother preaching here tonight, and thankful for having him here once again. And thank you, Mr. Gene Escobar, for playing with us here tonight as well. So really appreciate all the ministry efforts by all our people here. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to bring Sam back up.
Thanks, Sam. Thank you, brother. We have an offering hymn, 552, 552, I Surrender All. And we'll remain seated while the offerings are being collected.
Just in you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, that you faithfully provided for all of our needs. You have been good to us. I pray, dear God, for these tithes and offerings, that you will bless it, that it will be used wisely for the furtherance of your gospel here and for your kingdom's sake. Bless now our time together around your word. Bless our brother Sam as he preached. Help him, Lord, and lead and guide us. And may we listen well to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's arise and sing the remaining three verses, stanza 3, 4, and 5. Thank you. You may be seated. Let us turn to our scripture text for today. It's taken from Jonah chapter 1. A familiar story to many of us, even those who are of young age. We know the story of Jonah dwelling in the belly of the fish, the whale, 3 days and three nights. We know it from a young age. We hear it. Well, let's meditate on this first chapter tonight. Jonah chapter 1, I'll read the entire chapter in its entirety. Jonah 1 and verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, Every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Verse 8, Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country, and what people art thou? And he, Jonah, said unto him, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, What hast thou done this? Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Well, may God bless the hearing and the preaching of His Word tonight. Let's just bow our heads in a moment of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, again, we are delighted to be found in Your house again at the end of this week. On this day of rest, which You have appointed, we thank You that we can come into this church to worship You. We thank You for Your Word, which has been given to us to guide and direct us, to correct us. We thank You that we are also given this freedom of worship in this land. We pray, dear Lord, at this time for those who are in the young years, we pray that they may declare You as their Lord and Savior, that they may declare that they love You, and that they may declare that they will follow You all the days of their life. We also pray for families, for parents, that You may give them much needed rest and strength and wisdom as they train and bring up their children in the way of the Lord. We ask that You may provide for these families as well. For those who are looking for jobs, we pray that You may open up doors, doors of opportunity, that they may find honest work, and in turn may glorify You in those positions as well. May You grant them the words to speak. May You grant them interview opportunities. And we pray that You may help those that are in the evening years, those who are feeling the aches and the pains of the body. We pray that You may comfort them. May they trust in You. May they also look forward with great anticipation to that day where there will be no more crying, no more sighing, no more pain, no more disease, no more sickness. And may we all look with great hope and anticipation for that day that we will be reunited with you and that we will see you face to face. And so encourage us, dear Lord, with your word as we come and we dive into it. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Olympics are coming soon. One event or the series of events I like to watch is the swimming. I swam a bit, not to as competitively as those that go to the Olympics, but I swam in the summertime under a coach and in a club. Now, we would swim Monday to Friday, sometimes twice per day. One practice in the morning, one practice in the evening. And part of it, there was this training regiment. And there was one week that we entitled Drag Week. What that meant is that we would come normally, as you see, Olympic swimmer, they would have their tight Speedo suits. And that would help them to minimize any drag and be very efficient as they swam. Well, Drag Week for us was a week where we would test our endurance, build up our muscle. And so, you know, the regular street clothes that we have, a t-shirt or a pair of jeans or shorts, we would keep them on. And for that practice, we would swim with it. And of course, as water soaks up these clothes and you're starting to swim, well, you can feel that you're slower. There is this drag, something that's pulling on you, pulling behind you, making you slower, and you are not able to swim as fast. Well, sin is like that. Sin is like that. Sin is like the drag on the Christians so that they are no longer effective, no longer efficient as servants of God's kingdom. And if we do not remove these clothings that drag us down, well, we put a limit on ourselves. We put a limit on ourselves in the happiness, the blessedness that we enjoy in our relationship with God. We put a limit on ourselves with our sanctification and how we grow. This is not something that is controlled by someone else. This is a limit we put upon ourselves. And so in Jonah, we look at Jonah in this first chapter. And Jonah is the one that is bringing down all of those around him. And so metaphorically, we can say this. Is there a Jonah in your life? Is there a Jonah in your ship that you have to cast out? Just as the sailors casted out Jonah into the sea so that they can continue on. Is there a Jonah in your life that does not belong there? Is there some sin in your life that does not belong there? Is there a habit in your lifestyle that does not belong? You know, saying you're a Christian is great. Attending church is great. Serving in church is great. Praying at home is great. Reading your Bible is great. You know, giving offering is great. But if there is a Jonah in your life, you'll never sail smoothly. Is there a Jonah rocking your boat today? Well, you better cast your Jonah into the sea. And so first, notice in this first chapter, the problematic progression of Jonah. In verse 3, it says, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Well, what is the problem? Well, Jonah was given a message, go and preach to the people of Nineveh. And which direction did Jonah go? You know, he went in the total opposite direction. God said left, he went right. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. That's rebellion. That's the definition of rebellion. To go the opposite way. It's the opposite of obedience. You know, listen carefully to the conjunctions, the wording in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14, it says, if ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, but if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you. Rebellion is the antithesis to obedience. And so it starts with rebellion. The message to Jonah to go preach the order, to go preach the command, to go preach. And Jonah chose not to obey. He chose to rebel. And sin, like us, in us, starts with rebellion. It starts with rebellion. But see here, it progresses to residence. Verse 3, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, that is rebellion. And then it says, he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof. And he went down into it. You know, he went into the ship. He boarded it. He took residence on that ship. You see, Jonah is not a polite house guest. Imagine if you invited someone into your home. They came in, maybe they had some muddy shoes, maybe they were playing out in the fields that day. They came and they sat on your couch, and then they put their dirty feet upon your coffee table. Maybe they shed their dirty their jacket and they just put it on their floor. It's as if that person has taken up residence in your house. They feel just at home. Maybe there are some things, they start to open up their cupboard, your cupboards. Maybe they open up your fridge and they go through it and they eat it without asking you. It takes residence up in your home. You see, Jonah is like that. It starts with rebellion. Sin is like that. It starts with rebellion. Then it starts and progresses with residence. Sin ends up residing in your life. It starts integrating and living and touching every aspect of your life. Well, you better cast your Jonah into the sea, because we haven't even gotten to the worst part yet. Because when rebellion turns and progresses to residence, it eventually ends up resting there. Look at verse 4 and verse 5. The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and he was fast asleep. You know, when Jonah is in your life, when you let a Jonah into your life, and it doesn't belong there, it will rest while you are having troubles. While the sailors were toiling with this tempest, this storm, where was Jonah? He was fast asleep. He was resting in the deep bowels of the ship. You know, perhaps you may think of certain sins in your life that have taken a back seat, enjoying residence and resting in the times of struggle. You know, one example I can think of, when I was in grad school, we used our own laptops there. You know, there were no social media locks. And so from time to time, it was very tempting to navigate to, you know, Facebook and whatnot, while it was during work hours. You know, while I should have been reading up on some research papers on my topic. And so, you know, when it comes to deadlines, when it comes to presentations, you know, when I was not up to speed on the material that I was supposed to be reading because I was distracted, because I was taken away, well, where was the social media during my times of struggle? It was soundly resting there. Maybe you have work performance issues because Jonah is your late night video games. Maybe when you get called into your boss's office and asked to give a report and you are unable to give an adequate report, where are those video games? Safe at home. They're resting. Maybe you have issues, relationship issues surrounding finances because you like to spend money on sports betting. You know, there are sports betting sites. And where are they when you're struggling to make ends meet? Safely sleeping, safely resting. You know, it's at this point you are to cast your Jonah into the sea. You know, some of you have relationship issues because you have not cast out anger. You have not cast out pride. You know, some of you have lost friendships, but you didn't lose friendships because you decided you're going to go your separate ways. You lost friendships because Jonah, your sin got in between you. You know, Samson did not lose his strength because they overpowered him. Samson lost his strength because he didn't cast out his love for Philistine woman. Zacchaeus did not have friends because of his stature. You know, it was because he was short and therefore people did not want to be friends with him. It was because Zacchaeus did not cast out his Jonah, his sin of greed. Cast your Jonah into the sea. There is a Jonah in your life that does not belong there. Cast your Jonah into your sea. See, there is a progression with sin. The psalmist illustrates this well in Psalm 1 and verse 1. Psalm 1 and verse 1. It says, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Notice the progression. Blessed is the man that what? First, he is walking not in the counsel of the ungodly. But what's the next step? If he continues to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, you are found standing in the way of sinners. And pretty soon you'll be found sitting in the seat of the scornful. It starts out with walking, and then it progresses to standing. And if you let it progress any further, you find yourselves sitting. You know? And just like with Jonah here, we see it starts with rebellion. It progresses to residence and then rest. And so firstly, we note in this chapter, Jonah chapter 1, problematic progression. Next, you have unproductive performance. You see, Jonah rebels and he goes the other way. And the sailors let Jonah board their ship to Tarshish. And so what happens next? Well, verse 4, God sends a great storm. Follow me in verse 4. It says, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea so that the ship was like to be broken. We have rebellion on our boats, which is causing potential and fatal consequences for this boat. It says the ship was like to be broken. What are we supposed to do? Well, we see that we're going to do everything in our power to stop the storm and keep Jonah on our boats. And so we see what the sailors did. If you look at verse 5, they didn't throw Jonah off. In verse 5, it says that they cried out unto their gods. Verse 5, the mariners were afraid, cried every man unto his God. They cried unto their God. Not to the Lord Jehovah, but each one had their gods. Unproductive performance. Firstly, they tried their false gods. Perhaps, you know, one sailor cried to the God of the seas. Perhaps another sailor cried to the God of weather. They cried to the false gods and said, of God of heaven and earth. the one that can bring peace to the sea. He even says here in verse 5, they cried every man unto his God, and they cast forth the wares that were in the ship of the sea. Some commentators believe that they were casting forth the goods, the spoils that they had, perhaps to please, like a peace offerings to their God. You know, maybe that's like in our lives when it comes to sin. When times get tempestuous, we think, well, God, I'll tithe more. And let me keep Jonah on my boat to make my life a smooth sailing from here on out. God, I'll read my Bible more, but let me keep Jonah on my boat. God, I'll serve more in church, but let me keep my pet sin. Let me keep Jonah on the boats. Unproductive performance in their false gods. The second thing to note is forfeited blessings. Not only is there false gods, but forfeited blessings. Again, in verse 5, they cast out their wares. It's as if they were trying to please their false gods. But other commentators say, well, this is just a practical act. You know, if your boat is heavy with wares, with spoil, with gold, we'll cast them out. Let's lighten up the boats. And so they cast forth the wares that were in the ship in the sea to lighten it of it. So it appeared this is non-essential cargo. Think for a moment. Tarshish was an important trading port. You know, in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 22, during the reign of Solomon. Solomon sent ships to Tarshish, and he sent them to obtain gold and silver, ivory, and animals, peacocks. And, you know, you could imagine if Solomon would want to acquire, to obtain these animals and these spoils, what would he need to provide in exchange? Great sums of money. In 1 Kings 10:22, for the king, Solomon, had a sea, a navy of Tarshish, with the navy of Hiram. One in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver and ivory and apes and peacocks. And so we can surmise that the cargo in Jonah chapter 1 was probably precious cargo. And they are throwing it off the ship, and they are keeping Jonah on the ship. Here's the thing. The forfeited blessings of God. You know, sometimes when we want to keep our pet sins in our life, we throw away the blessings, the things that God has blessed us with. Well, I don't see or I don't like the rules my parents have, so I'll sneak around anyways. I'll sacrifice this blessed relationship with my parents for the relationship with someone else outside of God's will. You're casting the wrong thing into the sea. Don't cast your parents into the sea. Cast your Jonah into the sea. You see, Jonah will have you cast the good stuff away. Jonah will have you to cast your spouse in favor of texting some other woman for attention. Jonah will have you cast your devotional time in favor of working for more hours at the office to gain spoils. Don't cast away the good stuff, the blessings that God has given you, in favor of the unimportant stuff. Cast your Jonah into the sea. Well, here we have false gods, we have forfeited blessings. See as well, futile efforts. Nothing they did worked. In verse 7, the sailors casted lots. You know, casting lots is a way of determining God's choice. And so in verse 7 it said, they said every one to his fellow, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. You see, they found out by casting lots, well, the issue here is Jonah. They asked Jonah in verse 10, you know, why have you done this? Why is this come upon us? Jonah explains to them that he had fled from the presence of the Lord. But yet, in spite of the knowledge of this truth, what did they do? In verse 13, at this point, they knew Jonah was the issue. And in verse 13, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land. But they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Futile efforts. I have a gambling, a spending issue. I spend more than my means. What am I going to do? Well, I'll just get a better paying job with a higher pay, and I'll keep this issue, this sin. I have a character issue, anger, pride. And whenever an issue comes up in my marriage, well, maybe I'll figure out, I'll just get up and find another spouse. I'll keep my Jonah. I'll keep my sin of anger, of pride, and I'll just change all the circumstances around me. I don't like this job. I'll just get a new one. I don't like my friends. I'll go find other ones. I don't like this church. I'll just find another one. You do everything except for to cast out the Jonah in your life. Futile efforts. Futile, false gods, forfeited blessings, futile efforts. These are the unproductive performances that these men did. But you see, at the end, there should be proper purging. Problematic progression from rebellion to residence to resting. There is unproductive performance of the sailors. Then there's proper purging. How do you cast your Jonah into the sea? You see, in the end, they realized they have to cast Jonah out. Now, firstly, there must be a conscious acknowledgement of the problem. The sailors are conscious of the problem. In verse 7, again, they casted the lots. They knew by God's choice, God revealing to them that this issue was Jonah. But it's not just sufficient. It's not sufficient enough just to know, well, I have a problem. You must confront that problem as well. If we are to rid or cast our Jonah into the sea, we have to be conscious of it. We also have to confront it. In verse 11, it says, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do?" They confronted Jonah. "What shall we do unto you that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous." Verse 12, he said, Jonah unto them, "Take me up, cast me forth into the sea." We must confront our sins, and we must be convicted of our sins as well. Convicted to rid our sins, to throw or to cast our Jonahs into the sea. Because in verse 10, the men were exceedingly afraid and said, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord. But in verse 15, they were convicted. They were convicted to cast Jonah. So they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. You see here, the sailors had to pick up Jonah and throw him into the sea. See, Jonah did not throw himself overboard. Likewise, our sin will not rid itself from our lives. It will not just get up and walk away. Sin must be cast out by us. There must be a conscious acknowledgement. There must be confrontation. There must be conviction to get rid of the issue. We must cast our Jonahs into the sea. We cannot keep our Jonah aside and try to do everything else to appease God. It is only when we rid our lives of our sins, of Jonah, will there be peace. Will there be blessedness in our lives? We must You know, as the saying goes, out with the old, in with the new. Out with the old man, in with the new. And this principle is seen in the Bible. Just a few books away from Nehemiah. If you remember Nehemiah, Nehemiah was tasked to go forth and bring and lead his people back from Babylon. There he had raised up or brought the people back into the land. They rebuilt their homes, rebuilt the temple. But Nehemiah had left from some time. And there what they found in Nehemiah chapter 13, when he had returned, Nehemiah 13 and verse 4, it says this, Elisha the priest having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God was allied unto Tobiah. There was management in the form of Eliashib, the priest, and he was given oversight of one of the rooms in the temple. And it says here that he was allied unto Tobiah. And it says in verse 5, Nehemiah 13, he had prepared for him a great chamber where aforetime they laid the meat offering. So what is this room meant for? What was the purpose of the room? The meat offerings, the frankincense, the vessels, the tithes of the corn, the new wine, the oil, which had commanded to be given unto the Levites, the singers, the porters, the offerings of the priest. You see, they had defiled the house of God, the chambers of God, by keeping their own stuff in it. In verse 7, Nehemiah came to Jerusalem, understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. You know, Tobiah had come in and he had, you know, made that room that was designated for the offerings in God's house for himself. Maybe he, you know, thought, well, I'm going to put my coffee table over here. I'm going to put my nightstand over here. This place would be nice. I'll hang my picture frame up here. He had defiled the house of God. And Nehemiah, when he came back, he didn't say, well, let Tobiah keep his things there and let us maybe just offer more sacrifices unto God. Let us just, you know, double our efforts in ministry. No. Nehemiah 13 and verse 8, it grieved Nehemiah sore. Therefore I, Nehemiah, cast forth all the household stuff to Tobiah out of the chamber. I commanded that they cleanse the chambers and brought again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offerings and the frankincense. You know, you must cast out the old, cast out the sin, and then bring back and restore what the new man. Likewise in Hosea. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12, the story of Hosea, the people have sinned. They have not only say, well, I worship you, Lord Jehovah, but I worship you other gods, false idols. You see, they had committed spiritual adultery. And in Hosea, God uses a man, a prophet by the name of Hosea, to illustrate this spiritual adultery in the form of a marriage. He asks Hosea to marry Gomer, which is a promiscuous woman. After they are married, they have three kids. The first kid, we're told in Hosea chapter 1, is his son. But then afterwards, we do not know if child number 2 and child number 3 belong to Hosea. It is questionable. It implies that there is infidelity between Hosea and Gomer. Later on, Gomer goes away. It says she chases after her lovers. And later, she's no longer found at home. You know, this illustrates the spiritual adultery that Israel has committed against God. And there, God says to return. And in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12, to return, part of that plan to return, Hosea 10 verse 12, now God says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. What is fallow ground? Fallow ground is uncultivated land. You know, if someone will say, you know, I have given you this piece of land and is way out up north. No one has tended to it. No one has kept it. and you can now use it to plant your crops. Well, if you were to go there, you cannot simply just dig a hole, plant some seeds, and hopefully things will grow. To break up fallow ground means you must remove the obstacles to growth. So if there are rocks in the ground, you must remove the rocks. If there are weeds, you must dig them up. And after that, only then can you plant and sow the seeds. Well, likewise in our lives, in order for us to grow in our sanctification, to grow in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is not sufficient enough to just do, to maybe perhaps double our efforts of kindness, of love, of mercy, but we must break up our fallow ground. We must rid ourselves of our sins, to weed out the Jonahs in our lives. You know, cast your Jonah into the sea. And as we see here in Jonah chapter 1, once they have casted their Jonah into the sea was at peace. They could move on and sail away. Well, this evening, is there a Jonah in your life that you have held on to? Is there a sin that you are so inclined to, that you are unwilling to let go of, to rid yourself of? Is there a Jonah in your life that you must cast into the sea? Well, may God encourage you to be convicted that the only way to move forward, to seek His blessedness and happiness in your relationship with Him, in your sanctification, is to cast your Jonah into the sea. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you may help us. Indeed, there are glimpses of our own nature, glimpses of the sins that we have been so inclined to in our former life, sins that still trouble us, that still tempt us, that still draw us away from you, from this blessed fellowship that we have with you. And we pray that we may not hang so tightly to it, but you may help us to cast our Jonah into the sea, to see that that this sin must be rid of, that we must loosen our bonds from it. And so help us, dear Lord, help us to see this great need. Give us the power and the strength. Convict us to do it, and so that we may continue on with this blessed fellowship with you. Well, help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have a closing hymn, 573. 573. I draw your attention to one of the verses. The theme of this hymn is to make me a blessing, a channel of blessing. But look at verse 4. Again, how can we be a channel of blessing if we trifle with sin? Verse 4, we cannot be channels of blessing if we consciously trifle with sin. We will barriers be and a hindrance to those we are trying to win. And so may this encourage us to cast our Jonahs, the sins that we are so inclined to, into the sea, to rid ourselves of it. And so let us sing 573, Make Me a Channel of Blessing. Let us arise.
Yeah.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you may give us your peace and your love and your power to go forth into this week to do your kingdom work. We pray that you may help us. We are weak and we have trials and tempests and storms at every side. And so we know that we will not succumb to this, for you do not allow it. We know that you have given us your grace, which is sufficient for our needs. So help us, we pray. Help us, make us to be channels of blessing to those around us, to friends, to family, to those who are less fortunate, and so that they may see the love of God exude from us. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.